Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TryTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the RNR studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
Well, I'm going to have to kick you, you know what, today.
We're heading inside the tent with an injury update from the Las Vegas Raiders.
And joining us now on the phone lines to give us a little bit of an injury update, Dr. Robert Odell. And, Doctor, we definitely appreciate your time this afternoon. And one of the big stories of the week has been Tom Brady, 43, going on 44-year-old quarterback, won his seventh Super Bowl. And apparently he did it most of the season on a torn MCL. Now, DeMond's not buying it. DeMond's thinking he's just adding to the legend of. But either way you go, that's a pretty big deal. So when you hear that, when you hear Tom Brady played on a torn MCL the majority of the season, what are your thoughts and how do you think he was able to manage that and get through the course of a long, drawn-out season?
That's easy. A lot of people don't respond to pain like other people. Nobody really knows why. You put a needle into somebody and some people like, no big deal. Others like, you know, go crazy. For example, people, women having epidurals, you know, in labor, when they use the blood pressure cuff, if the woman reacts to the blood pressure cuff, we've all had our BP taken, they really need that epidural. Because it's pressure, but big deal.
Right.
We all react differently because the pain signals go to the limbic system, which is the emotional area. Obviously, Brady is world class, not at his body is such that he minimizes that stuff. That's number one. Now, number two is, you know, there's MCL tears, there's MCL tears. There's so many easy ways. I can treat them in my clinic, MCL tears, with PRP. Maybe he had that. You can go in with a scope and clip a little bit of it off. It's not that big of a deal these days, and especially if he was not in pain, or didn't perceive the pain, was able to perform at the very highest level that he did, it's really irrelevant what type of injury it is, because it's a very, very easy injury to fix through a variety of techniques. I mean, I can even treat them as an interventional pain doctor. I don't want to belittle his injury, but the biggest thing was his supertentorial, or his the response of his brain not to worry about it.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And you know, as a guy who's actually had a couple torn ACLs from playing basketball.
That's
a big difference. Big difference. But it was the swelling. It was the swelling even when I seen guys, you know, spraining their MCLs or tearing their MCLs. I felt like the swelling and the little bit of blood that was in there was what really caused a lot of the pain. Is that incorrect?
No, that's true. But the body tends to heal itself, you know, on its own. I mean, the body does a lot of things to mitigate these problems, even in professional athletes.
Talk right now with Dr. Robert Odell here in the huddle on Raider Nation Radio 920. And, Doc, I wanted to ask you, training camp's right around the corner. We've been talking about that quite a bit on the show today. How do these guys get to camp, or what would be your suggestion? Because some of these guys get to camp and they try to go full throttle early, and a lot of these teams just try to ease them into it. But if they do go full throttle, it feels like to me that there's an easy way to pull a hammy, do some of those soft tissue pulls. I mean, are those more relevant and more prevalent when training camp first opens up?
Yes, but these guys are pros. I mean, they should prepare. I probably sound like Dr. Moses. I forgot to give him a call. He's still on Eastern time because he's hadn't been able to spend as much time back here as we'd like him to. He's my chiropractic partner here at the Neuropathy and Pain Centers of Las Vegas. But, you know, everything's in conditioning, and heck, this is how these guys make their living.
Right.
And the guy that's like, not like 25 years ago when they sat around drinking beer and smoking cigarettes, maybe 50 years ago, I was smoking cigarettes and expected to be in shape. Things are a lot different now, and I'm sure that they have conditioning coaches that are available to them in the off season, you know, commensurate with the rules. And I mean, their whole, here's the thing, their whole income depends on that. And for most people, it's only 3 or 4 years. It's good money, but it's only 3 or 4 years. You look at the superstars, that's fine. But one of these guys, 3 or 4 years is all they have, and they know that, and they want to make themselves in top condition so they don't, so they do well at training camp. And I just, I'm guessing, I don't know them. If any of them are listening, I hope they're not laughing at me. But I suspect that all of them are in optimal condition when they do go to training camp. So these injuries that you just mentioned do not occur.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, it's crazy because we always see something. We see a little run on injuries, especially early on in training camp. And again, it's multiple reasons. But the Raiders, you know, they're doing their practices. We just got our media information earlier today, and a lot of their practices during training camp are going to be super early in the morning because of the heat. And that's it's so hot out here. But what, you know, how much does that play into a factor of a potential injury just with the heat and having to stay hydrated, but you're out there at the same time working really hard?
Well, when I was playing football, they didn't give us the water at all. Here they do that, and of course the heat is going to make it a little bit easier on the muscles. It's easier to use a muscle in the heat than in the cold. The problem, of course, is with the conditioning and getting dehydrated, and as long as the coaches and the trainers are paying attention to that, it shouldn't be a problem. I thought they had a facility that was covered.
Yeah, no,
in Henderson.
Yeah, they do. They do. But I mean, to get everyone out there, to get all 90 guys out there, and really making sure that they're performing at the same time. They a lot of them have to be outside, and so they're having to do it early in the morning.
Sounds like the concentration. No, I'm sorry. Actually, you're right. That's actually a great idea. My dad was the best in the world at conditioning. We had these 10-yard sprints which just killed us. He was an All-American, won the Maxwell Award, and I played for him a couple of years. I unfortunately was too slow. He was a lead athlete in the 40s and Hall of Fame and everything. And when I played for him at Penn, those 10-yard sprints, 10 yards back, they were just killers. He was really good in conditioning, and that's why he beat a lot of teams that were stronger and bigger than him, just through conditioning, smartness, and a lot of passes.
We're talking right now with Dr. Robert O'Dell from the Neuropathy and Pain Center of Las Vegas here on In the Huddle, Raider Nation Radio 920. And Doc, before I let you go, I did want to ask you, how long of downtime do you think that these players need? How much downtime did you need after playing football to kind of get your body back in shape, back in form, so you can prepare for an upcoming training camp or upcoming, you know, practice sessions to get back in shape for a football season? How much time away from the game do you think these guys need to take?
I can't answer that. I played three sports in high school and two sports in college, so I was always pretty much in good shape. I think it's really an individual thing, and I think that, as I said earlier, I think it's really incumbent upon all these guys to maintain their conditioning no matter what they're doing. I mean, I've exercised every day of my life almost up until about 9 months ago. I had a cardiac issue, and I let that, it's fixed, it's not a problem, and I have not worked out. And I personally really have to start in again. At 74, I got to walk, you know, use the elliptical slowly. You know, it's the opposite of these guys. But I think at a professional level, I think they can really take care of themselves. I don't think the time, to answer your question, really matters. I think look, if you have a $1 billion in the bank and you don't work out, there's no way in the world you're going to get in shape.
Right.
You have to do it yourself. And that is the same case with every elite athlete. They have to do it themselves, and they know that. You can go all the glamour, all the Hollywood, all that stuff in front of the cameras, but you got to get in that weight room. You got to do that aerobic yourself.
Right.
There's no way around it. Nobody can do it for you.
Does that
make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. It makes all the sense in the world. It's actually what my wife says to me all the time when she tells me to get on the ab carver.
I try not to listen to my wife because she doesn't listen to me, but that's okay. That's a totally other issue. We can discuss it another time.
I know that's right.
Actually, I take care of back pain and neck pain in the back and pain in the neck. But I have to remind your listeners, I do not care of spouses that are a pain in the back, or pain in the neck. So,
well, you know what? I'm glad you said about the back, because another area of concern that I have when I talk to a lot of my buddies, they always say, yeah, you know, I rolled out of bed and my back just hurt a little bit. And it's funny. I always hear people say, well, you just got to strengthen your core. Got to strengthen your core. It's got to be better. If your core is stronger, your back won't hurt. Is that true?
That's absolutely true. And actually, we can help them. We have a machine, electrodiagnostic device that we use that is really good for sports medicine. We don't advertise it a lot, you know, but people with aches and pains, this thing can do miracles to get them back. But they have to do the core exercises.
Right.
They have to do those exercises themselves. We can get rid of the pain associated with it, but they have to do the core exercises themselves. We have some dynamite chiropractic help in our office. You know, Dr. Shaw's in there now. Dr. Moses, who was a practice in Virginia, who's out coming out soon. And we just have it's really great because as an anesthesiologist, my expertise is really not in physical medicine and rehabilitation or the working out stuff. Theirs is, and that's why this. If somebody in my clinic has a problem, I can resuscitate them on a dime because that's what I do. That's never happened, but
right.
it's a difference in training. So I think that this combination with the DCs in my office is just amazing because they show me things I never dreamed of. I mean, just putting a needle into somebody is not always the answer.
Right.
It isn't. Mm-hmm. It isn't. And that's how I make my living is putting needles into people. But I wish your listeners would tell your friends, I really believe in doing the conservative stuff first.
There you go, Damon. Strengthen the core. Strengthen the core and you'll be all right. That's the first step. I'm trying to tell Doc, I'm trying to help this guy out, man.
Are you new?
I am new. I came from Texas.
Oh, cool. I just hope we're as free as Texas. Never mind. I shouldn't be political. I apologize.
I hear you.
When is he going to be on the at the Kona Grill?
That's a great question. I have no. Actually, I'm still on the fact-finding mission, so I have no idea yet. But it should be soon, my man. It should be soon.
And so, that's on literally the way home from my office. I can't wait to meet you guys in person.
Absolutely. Hey, when we get there, I'm gonna make sure to let you know though, because I want you to come on out too, and maybe I'll get Damon out there so you can educate him on strengthening his core.
That's funny.
Thank you, Doctor. Appreciate you so much.
Hey, you do good. I'm going to tell Vinny he has some competition.
That's right. Tell him. Tell him that. Please tell him that. Tell him that, Doc. Tell him I'm going to give him a run for his money.
Hey, best of luck with your new job. That's terrific.
Appreciate you, Doctor. That's Dr. Robert Odell right there, Neuropathy and Pain Center of Las Vegas. Many, many thanks to him. And we'll definitely have to hook up pretty soon. And he's going to help educate Damon on how to strengthen his core and make sure he's right. Damon talked about he's going to be a wrestler and he's doing all this other stuff in the ring, but he don't have his core right. Kind of no sense does that make? No sense at all. Oh, hold on. Here comes Damon back.
I don't know what you mean talking about he's going to be a wrestler. I am a wrestler.
Are you?
What are you talking about?
I'm just asking. I'm just asking.
You remember that Chappelle sketch where he was like faking to be Samuel Jackson? It's like, haven't you seen my movies?
Come on, I haven't.
You ain't seen my clips?
Buddy. I have not seen your clips. I have not seen your clips, and you know how I feel about wrestling. So, I mean, are you a wrestler or are you an actor?
I'm a wrestler.
Okay, I'm just asking. I don't want to diminish a man's profession. Just asking. You know what I mean? Many thanks to Dr. Robert Odell from the Neuropathy and Pain Center of Las Vegas for joining us, giving us a little education and talking about players going to training camp and how they need to be in shape and what's going to happen. And I'll tell you, and Damon, I mean, in all seriousness, you'll see some early hammy pulls. You'll see some, you know, some tight quads. I mean, you'll see all that happen quick, fast, and in a hurry. When training camp gets started. We got a couple more minutes before we get to my guy, John McClain from the Houston Chronicle, to talk all things NFL. And I do believe we have some feedback and we have some very patient listeners waiting on the Raider Nation listener line. So let's go ahead and go to a very patient TJ Raider. You're on In the Huddle. What's on your mind today, my man?
Hey, I just wanted to give an example for someone who is a Raider. I know it's kind of like 30 minutes ago.
That's all good.
We got to educate Damon over here, but, So someone brought up Amari Cooper. That was a perfect example of who's not a Raider, but someone who is actually on the same team. It's Michael Crabtree. And, you know, I say that because, you know, he came onto the team, you know, after the Niners kind of underachieved there, came in with a chip on his shoulder, brought that swag mm-hmm. with him, and that passion, you know, became Carr's go-to man. Even had a fight in him with Aqib Talib. You know, he's got a fight yeah. for the Raiders. And,
yep.
And, yeah, to me, that's the kind of example of who a Raider is. I mean, I'm only 25, so I don't have, you know, I haven't been around for, you know, all those old-time guys. But, you know, that's a recent example.
No, that's a great one. That's a great one. Michael Crabtree, I agree with that. I mentioned that for a quick second, and DeMond doesn't know. But, yeah, Michael Crabtree, that was a true definition of a Raider right there, a guy that came in with a chip on his shoulder and just walked the walk, talked the talk, and he was Derek Carr's go-to guy.
Yeah, definitely. Have a good show, too. Thank you.
Thank you, TJ. Definitely appreciate the call.
Up next, we got Gangster Raider.
Uh-oh, Gangster Raider's on the phone line. What's up, man? You're in the huddle, my man.
What's up, Q? I just wanted to let you know I finally got into the building. I had my stadium tour a few weeks ago.
Okay.
I think it was June 25th, and it was awesome, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had to drink with the view afterwards and everything. DeMond was supposed to meet me at the Tavern and Grill after the Raiders Tavern and Grill, but we mixed up signals or whatever. But I think it's awesome. You know what I'm saying? That whole stadium is – we finally got a first-class building for a first-class organization. And on Raiders Tavern and Grill, everything was perfect. You know what I mean? They yeah. treated us like family. Even my girl was like, "Are you some kind of member or something here? Like, you got some kind of special membership?" I'm like, "Nah, I'm just a Raider Nation. That's just how they treat us." And I was so impressed. Even she was impressed. We even came back that Sunday because this was a Friday after our stadium tour that we went. We went back on Sunday, too. You know what I'm saying? That's how impressed we was. You know what I'm saying? I want to say, you know, I've been calling up here since y'all first day when y'all had the other show.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was September 3rd last year. That anniversary almost coming back up, and it's good that you're back on the radio. And I vote that you take over for Vinny full time. You know what I'm saying? Nah, I'm just playing. I'm just shooting at Vinny. Vinny, my guy. Vinny, my guy. He gave a rest in peace shout out to my brother when he passed. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
Vinny got a special place in my heart forever, him and DeMond. You know what I'm saying? But you know, I like you and Scott, and I hope y'all come back. I heard you coming back. I don't know about Scott, but you know what I'm saying? As long as you back or half the team is whatever, we got to celebrate. Will you be up and running by the 3rd, September 3rd?
Oh, yeah. I'm here. I ain't going nowhere now. I'm here.
All right, we got to celebrate the anniversary, though. You know what I'm saying? That was the first day of official Raider Nation Radio, and that's when I started calling in. So we got to do it big, set up some kind of celebration. You know what I'm saying? I come in if I have to.
I think it was August 3rd. Wasn't it August 3rd when the station first
launched? Yeah, August 3rd. August 3rd.
There you go.
Yeah. What did I say, September?
Yeah.
So my mind just thinking about the games, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm trying to get tickets to the Ravens game because my sister's boyfriend or fiance, he's a Ravens fan, so we trying to get tickets to that Ravens Raiders game.
Ooh,
you know,
yeah.
So I already got tickets to the Miami and the Bears game, so okay. I'm trying to get the Ravens game.
All right, you sounds good. Yeah, absolutely, man. Get those tickets, man, and definitely flood Allegiant Stadium early and often this year because it's going to be.
Give Scott my love.
Will do. I appreciate you. Thanks for the call, my man. Gangster Raider right there here on Raider Nation Radio 920. And, yeah, August 3rd, I remember that, man. Myself and Scott Goldbranson, we are on Silver and Black today. That was the name of the show. It was Scott's show. He just brought me on, which was very much appreciative. I was able to do the show from Central Texas, but now I'm in the 702, man. I'm here, and I ain't going nowhere.
I mean, the new anniversary should just go ahead and be the 26th when that new show drop.
I mean, that's true. That's a good point.
That's going to be the day to remember right there.
It's going to be so much fun. I mean, having Pritch and Clay in the morning and then having JT at noon. I mean, it's JT, then it's going to be unnecessary roughness with myself, and then Vinny's going to close things out in the huddle. I mean, that's going to be awesome. I'm so excited for just the direction of the station and how much great local, live and local content that we're going to have and be able to talk Raiders, going to be able to talk football in general. Just, I mean, this is a good time of year. And so, very, very excited about that. So, TJ Raider, thank you for your call. Gangster Raider, thank you for your call. And hey, man, you know, I'm sorry for your loss of your brother as well. I don't know when it happened, but, you know, always prayers up, man. And, you know, loss is always tough. So thank you for sharing that with us. But just know that prayers are always with you. Coming up next, John McClain, my guy from the Houston Chronicle. He'll join us to talk all things NFL. We'll dip into the Hall of Fame with John. He's coming up next here on Raider Nation Radio 920.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignor. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignor on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
And welcome back to In the Huddle here on Raider Nation Radio 920. I'm your boy Q, holding it down for Vinny as Vinny's on vacation till next week, as everyone that covers the NFL is on vacation right now, trying to get that last second vacation in before the grind of the NFL season hits us, before training camp gets started. And not only is Vinny on vacation and relaxing and trying to get a little R&R, but also my guy, John McClain from the Houston Chronicle, who's on the phone lines now. And we definitely appreciate your time, John. And training camp's right around the corner, my man. Are you rested up? Are you ready to go?
I'm ready to go. If I was on vacation, I wouldn't be on with you. I'd be doing like Vinny. I'd be on some island somewhere, kicking back, having some wine and beer. But I'm happy to be on with you. Congratulations on your new gig. Everybody I know is really happy for you, and I hope people in Las Vegas, your listeners in Vegas and Nevada, they will come to appreciate and respect you, Q, just like everybody did from Baylor Nation when you were in Waco for how many years was it?
I was there since 2010, so almost 12 years.
Well, congratulations. I know you're a diehard Raiders fan. You've never tried to hire it. Never tried to hide it. Just put all that Raider gear in storage. You don't want anybody to see you wearing it around.
Now, you know I'm going to hold it down. I'm going to be professional about it, but it's been a lot of fun, and was able to do the show yesterday from Raiders facility, so that was really cool for me. But, John, I wanted to ask you, because you've been covering the NFL for so many years, how does this year feel, knowing what we came off of last year, knowing how it was, how does it feel getting ready to head into another year of football and hoping it's a little bit closer to normal than it was a year ago?
My first training camp was in 1977 with the Houston Oilers, and Bum Phillips was the head coach and the general manager. And people keep thinking I'm so old and I've been around so long, it must get old, but it doesn't. Every year, I'm like a kid in a candy store going to school my first day. I get excited about it, even though I cover a team like the Texans, who everybody expects to be the worst team in the league. I've never covered a team in my 45 years that it says 50 new players, including 42 new veterans. And I tell people, they might not be very good, but it's still going to be interesting to watch them. And there's so many great storylines around the NFL as everybody tries to work their way back. And, you know, you see what's happened to the Yankees yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it just blows me away that there's nincompoops out there who won't get vaccinated, which could hurt their team, could hurt them, could hurt their fans, the organization, could take money out of people's pockets. If you're stupid enough not to do it, you get sick or you get put in quarantine, or you cause your teammates to be put in quarantine. It's one thing, Q, about baseball, because they play so many games. And even though football's increased to 17 now, each game is crucial.
Right.
You don't want the Raiders to be playing the Broncos, and a victory would help the Raiders earn a wild card berth, and some numbskull that didn't get vaccinated ends up affecting other people, and it hurts the team, and they lose, and they end up not making a playoff. So we've still got a lot of protocols in place. But having the fans back, that's the most exciting thing. And, of course, everybody wants to see what it's going to be like for the Raiders when they moved into their stadium, and now they get to have a full house. I can't wait to see the Raiders on national TV.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that Monday night football game to start the season against the Baltimore Ravens in Allegiant Stadium. And, John, you mentioned, you know, not getting vaccinated. There's only about 13 or 14 teams right now, we don't know exactly who they are, that are above that 85% threshold. I can't believe that more than half the league is not there yet. It just, for every reason you just said, doesn't make very much sense to me.
Not to mention the pain in the butt it is for you to have to go through every protocol like last year, just because you're a nitwit, and you've got to wear the bracelet that keeps you socially distanced. You can't work out. You can't be next to your teammates. You can't go out. You can't go out on the road. It's just a terrible inconvenience for what? And so I hope it doesn't affect teams. But if you don't get a vaccination, it's inevitable. Just ask John Rahm.
Mm-hmm.
He lost about $1.6 million when he tested positive and cost him a golf tournament. And the Red Yankees being a great example yesterday. We got basketball players affected. Hopefully, people will come to their senses and will do everything they can to help their team hit 85% so they can relax the protocols for everyone.
Absolutely right. Talking right now with John McClain from the Houston Chronicle. You can find John on Twitter at @McClain_on_NFL. Been covering the NFL for a very long time. Does a great job for the Chronicle. And John, as far as the Hall of Fame goes, everyone in Raider Nation is very excited. Coach Tom Flores is going in this year. Charles Woodson is going in this year. Even Wayne Mabry, the Violator, he's going in as a super fan. But Coach Flores, he's a guy I've talked to you about many, many times. It took a long time, probably too long for him to get in. I know you've been on his side for a very long time. How exciting is it that Coach is getting in this year?
Well, I was on the coaches committee. I'm on the regular committee, seniors committee, and the coaches committee. And I was really happy for Flores. And one of the things I think we did when we considered him again is we just threw out Seattle. And you just look at what he did for the Raiders, his record against other good coaches, what he did with the Super Bowls. You know, his overall record is not as good when you had the Seattle years, but he had a terrible owner there, Ken Behring, who wouldn't let him do what he wanted to do. So I'm happy for Flores. I know the longer they wait, the more they appreciate it. And it wasn't that everybody said on our committee said, well, we don't think Tom Flores deserves it. We just thought there were other people who deserved it more.
How difficult is it, John, when you're on that committee, because there are so many deserving people that should be in the Hall of Fame or need to get into the Hall of Fame, or we all think have a good argument to get in the Hall of Fame? How difficult is it just to narrow it down? How's that process go?
Well, first of all, anybody can nominate someone and there are holdovers from the previous year based on how many votes you got. So there might be 125, and then the committee votes and we get it down to 25. Then we get it down to 15 finalists, and then the coach, the senior, and the contributor. And then we vote today. Well, it's not the day before the Super Bowl. That's the way it was. But the last year, now this year, we're going to have to do it a couple of weeks before. But it's hard, Q. I mean, it's hard. I've had people tell me, well, how could y'all put this guy in there? He doesn't deserve it. And I said, well, let me tell you something about him that we know. And then they'll go, wow, I didn't know that. Most people don't even know the protocols. It always drives me crazy when I see people in the media, especially ex-players on TV, saying, I know what goes on in that room. Well, they don't know what goes on in the room. They don't know our bylaws. They don't know what we talk about. And the evidence and all the things that we have at our disposal that the public does. And it goes beyond statistics in a lot of occasions. But, Q, it is so hard. But it's such an enormous responsibility. It's such a privilege to be on those committees because you take a player, a coach, a contributor, if it's a no-brainer like Joe Montana or Brett Favre or John Elway, that's one thing. But when you have to wait, like Tom Flores, like every senior, like the centennial class, I was on that committee. When you have to wait, it makes you appreciate it even more. What I hate is when we wait to put someone in after they died.
Yeah.
And only their family can enjoy it. Kenny Stabler being a great example. I covered Snake in Houston after Al Davis traded him to the Oilers for Dan Pastorini, and I always thought Snake deserved to be in the Hall of Fame because I used to tell people, what quarterback would you rather have in the last 2 minutes of a game and had to take his team down the field and win a game? What player more than Kenny Stabler? Well, they may have come up with a couple as much like Elway. People always say Elway. I said Elway is Kenny Stabler. Stabler was Elway before Elway. And I'm glad he finally got in. I just wish they could have been alive to see it.
Yeah, no doubt about that one. That was a special one. That was great. I know Raider Nation was excited when he got in, but like you said, a little bit late. Just wanted to see him get in before he passed away. We're talking to John McClain right now from the Houston Chronicle, talking all things NFL as well as the Hall of Fame. And one guy that did pass away, matter of fact, he passed away on Hall of Fame weekend, Cliff Branch, a great Raider wide receiver. That's a guy that I know that Al Davis talked to you many times about, Cliff Branch, and he's not in the Hall of Fame yet, but could you just go ahead and share one of the stories that Al Davis, you know, said to you about Cliff Branch?
Q, I used to talk to Al at league meetings, and the reason he talked to me was because I had an appreciation for the AFL. I watched it when I was a kid, and I knew the players, and of course, he started off as assistant coach under Sid Gilman with the Chargers, and they lost the first two championships to the Oilers, and so I think he appreciated the fact that I knew a lot about it, and he liked to tell stories. Well, about, 5 years before Al died, I pulled him aside. I said, I need to ask you a question. I said, tell me one Raider who's not in the Hall of Fame who deserves to be in the Hall of Fame more than any other. And I was asking him, Q, thinking he was going to say Lester Hayes from Houston. And he didn't hesitate. He said Cliff Branch, who also is from Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why? And he went into great detail about Cliff's speed, his toughness, and how his speed opened up the running game, things he did, helped the possession receivers, and, of course, Al loved guys who could run. Vertical passing game was so important to him. And there's a bunch of guys that I thought he might mention before Cliff, but he did. So, in fact, I just turned in my veterans ballot last week, and Cliff Branch was on it, just like he always is. But it's tough when you're a senior and there's only one. Some years there's two. When it's one, it's tough. And we keep putting them in. And it's Q, I tell you what, the late Paul Zimmerman used to call the seniors the swamp. When your modern eligibility was up, and if you didn't get in, you went into the swamp where most of them died. And fortunately, the Hall of Fame every other year lets us do two, and then let us do a centennial class, a one-time thing. But we still have so many that we could get in there. And I remember, when I asked him and he told me Cliff Branch, John Madden wasn't in there then.
Yeah.
Wow. A couple other Raiders weren't in there at the time. But that's how much esteem that he held Cliff Branch in. And I'm confident someday Cliff will be in. Frank Cooney, who's been covering the NFL just longer than just about anybody, covered the Raiders for decades and still lives in Northern California. Frank does a great job promoting the ex-Raiders, and he does some great presentations. He did a great job helping with Flores, and he does a great job with Stabler, and he's working really hard on Cliff Branch. And so I would love to see Cliff be the nominee this year for the senior, because once you get nominated, you're in. Our regular committee doesn't say. What we do is we rubber stamp, because we know how hard the people on the senior committee, the coach committee, and the contributors committee work to come up with their nominations each year. So we just rubber stamp them.
Nice. I like it. Get the campaign going, Raider Nation. That's what John McClain said. Get the campaign going. It would be great to see Cliff get in. I would love to do that. I'm hoping that I can make my way out to Canton this year, just because C. Wood, Charles Woodson, which was a no-brainer. I mean, I haven't mentioned Charles, but that was a no-brainer. He was a first ballot Hall of Famer, and really just an outstanding player, obviously, with the Raiders and Green Bay. Really went to Green Bay and grew up and matured and went back to the Raiders and really kind of became that leader on the field. But just talk real quick about Charles Woodson and how easy it was to get him into the Hall of Fame.
It was very easy. We didn't need a long presentation from Frank Cooney, because everybody knew he was the first ballot Hall of Famer. There are some players you just know. Others might make it on the first ballot, and I'll be surprised. I was surprised when Brian Urlacher made it on the first ballot. I thought he might have to wait a year. But I knew Charles Woodson was in there, and truthfully, I don't want Frank Cooney to know this, but I didn't listen to much of his presentation because I already knew how I was going to vote.
Right.
Woodson, who was great for so long, not to mention in college, winning a Heisman over Peyton Manning.
Yep.
I think he's meant so much to the game you mentioned no-brainer. That's exactly the way to put it.
Yeah, no doubt about that. That's the great John McClain from the Houston Chronicle on Twitter, at @McClain_on_NFL. John, what you got coming out on Houston or Texas Sports Nation, that fans could be on the lookout for?
Yeah, that's our sports website for the Chronicle, TexasSportsNation.com. We're all about the NFL, the Texans, Astros, of course, playing a series, the White Sox, Rockets about to have second pick in the draft. We got a lot of things going. I appreciate you letting me promote them. Congratulations on your move to Las Vegas. I know how much you love the city and you love the Raiders. I know you call it a dream come true, and I'm so happy you are living that dream because you earned it, Q. Thank you very much for having me, and have a great weekend.
Thank you, John. Appreciate you as always. John McClain right there from the Houston Chronicle. That's my guy. Good dude. And yeah, make sure you follow him on Twitter if you want some good NFL knowledge, @McClain_on_NFL. And Texas Sports Nation is the website that he writes for, part of the Houston Chronicle. Really good stuff. And yeah, I mean, I could talk to John for another 30, 45 minutes, but I definitely want to open back up the listener line, 702-365-9200, or the Sam and Ash text line, 69187, keyword R&R. Want to know about training camp battles? Want to know who you're most intrigued to see? Who do you think is going to be in for a heck of a battle when training camp opens up on the 27th? This is Raider Nation Radio 920.
No one gets you closer to the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor.
I'll let that one ride out for a minute. I can appreciate that. 5:45 is the time. Like, I'm all trying to get all in the zone now. Turn me up with the headphones.
Just get a little freestyle going.
Yeah, not me. I was never the hip-hop artist. There's a lot of things I was good at in life. Freestyling. Rapping in general was not for me. I had a homeboy named Ben back in the day. He tried to write some lyrics for me. I was like, go ahead, Q. Just go ahead and spit these raps. I was like, all right. Got into the booth. I spit them. I was like, nah, it's not really me. I decided I'd be the hype guy instead. I'd be the hype man, you know. Being the hype man's easy. It's an easy job.
Let's go.
Nah, you gotta. See, you sounded like it was too forced. It's gotta be more natural.
But you know, like people get paid for that. Like
I know. That's what I'm saying.
I could be in Vegas. The guy like to make some noise. Guy.
Yeah.
That guy's probably got a nice salary and everything.
Man, when I did hip hop radio, when I was the club DJ, man, I had the club popping.
That man.
I know. I could do that. That's my zone.
Like I love being here. But if they was just like, hey man, you could be like name a DJ. Like you could be like Lil Jon's make some noise guy.
Right,
like come on, I'm out of here in a minute,
man. I'm telling you, there's
touring the world, just like come on,
man.
You want to see like Tiesto? Come on.
I'm trying to tell you, man. See, I'm back in the day. I'm that dude, you know. I'm that old, ain't no fun. Snoop Dogg, that nothing but a G thing. Dre, Too Short, blow the whistle. You know what I mean? That's my zone right there. I'm that guy. I'm a game recognized game in the Bay, man. You know what I mean? I'm that dude. You know what I mean? I'm Mac Dre. I'm hyphy. I'm all that. You know, that's my zone right there. That was my wheelhouse right there. That's how I roll.
I'm not gonna remember, I'm only 25.
That's what I'm telling. I'm trying to educate you, man. I'm trying to put you up on game. That's what I said. Look, man, I'm 44. I know I'm a different cat. Again, I told you, going back to that different cat stuff. I was in that wheelhouse. I was in that wheel. When I was in the club, man, the club was popping. Now, you know, you in the club, you got to make sure you pay attention when you're coming out the club. And there may be something, you know, something really popping. I don't want no part of that.
All right, man, are you ready? How about you tell us what you got?
Who? Hey, man, I just wanted to chime in and say hello to Q. What's up? This is Aaron, man, from Maui.
Hey, what's up, my man? What's going on, my dude?
Not much, man. Just want to say congratulations on the air. I know we've exchanged tweets back and forth, man, but really happy for you. Glad you landed there and looking forward to, obviously, the content once you get your own show. And a little bit on the battles, I think it's – and I was off and on, so I didn't hear it, but I'm probably repeating it, man. But I think slot corner is going to be the hot spot, man. I think it's going to be a real strong competition between three guys. Fuel comes out on top.
Who's the three? Who's the three you got? Casey Hayward, Damon Arnett, and Amik?
No, man, I got Arnett losing his spot to Casey Hayward. The slot's going to be Arnett, Amik, or Hobbs.
Okay, I got you. Okay, the slot. Okay, I got you. Okay, Good one. Good one. That's a good competition. Thank you, my man. I appreciate you.
All right. Talk to you soon, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's my guy, Aaron, calling in from Maui. Yesterday, we had Raider Rock calling in from Seoul, Korea. Today, we got Aaron calling in from Maui. We're worldwide. See, that's that hype man. See, that's a hype man in me. Worldwide, baby. Low key. No, it's not low key. I let it be known. I'm a big Pitbull guy. I don't care what anyone says. I'm a big Pitbull fan. I don't care. Judge me all you want. I don't care, Damon. I don't care. I am a Pitbull guy. So when I hear Mr. Worldwide, I'm with it. I am 100% with it. And I'll explain to you at some other time. Just know that if you hang out with Pitbull, everything is tens. It's all tens.
So you telling me you got a Pitbull story?
All right. Come on, Doc.
Oh, man, wow.
Hey, look, this is just the first couple days, man. You got plenty of time for me to educate you, man. Plenty of time to learn about your boy Q stories. I just told him Central Texas for the last 12 years. Now, you got a long time, brother. But I got a Pitbull story, of course, but I'll bring that to you another day. I want to get to what Aaron was saying about the slot corner. Hobbs, that's my guy. That's the guy I think. Just gut feeling. Again, don't know anything else. Obviously, they haven't even hit training camp yet. They don't report till the 27th. I just think the fifth-round pick out of Illinois, Nate Hobbs, has an opportunity to do something. I really do. I like, again, remember what I said about having a little something in your neck? Nate Hobbs, he's got a little something in his neck. He does. A little different. He's cut a little different. He's that guy. If you go back, you can go back and look. And shame on me for not having the audio. You can go back and look at the video on Raiders.com of Nate Hobbs after he got drafted and what he was saying and how he was, always underappreciated and always under-recruited and just a big underdog. And, man, you could just see in his demeanor. Now, look, you could talk the talk, but you got to walk the walk, too. You got to go out there and do it on the field. But you could just see, you could tell a lot about a person by their body language, the way they answer questions, their style. And it's not like he was trying to be too cool for the room. It's just a little something about him. He's got a little extra edge to him. And when this whole thing started talking about Gerrion Conley, and if you remember, when John Gruden first returned to the Raiders, one of the first people he talked about was Gerrion Conley. He was asked about him. He said, "I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know who he is." He keeps his hood up over his head. He don't say nothing. He's really quiet. So I don't know what's going on in that head of his. And he wasn't being disrespectful. He just was being honest. I don't know this guy. I don't know who he is. I don't know what makes him tick. I don't know what makes that drive, gives him that burn in his belly. I don't know. And I knew then, and I said it on my podcast multiple times, I don't think Gerrion Conley is very long for the team. I just don't think that's the kind of dude that coach is looking for. I don't think that's the kind of dude that the organization is looking for. He's just not built like a Raider. And now you look at where Gerrion Conley is, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but he went to Houston. They traded him to Houston. And where's he at now?
I just looked it up, actually, because you know what? I ain't going to lie. I didn't know too much about little Gerrion Conley here, but he's out the league.
And that's what I'm saying. That's my point. Now, the problem is when you have a guy and you let him go and he goes somewhere else and he thrives and all of a sudden he's a monster, then you're like, well, okay, maybe should have had that guy stick around. But Gerrion Conley hasn't proven to be that guy. Didn't prove to be that guy. And the Texans, they traded for him. And on top of that, the Raiders, just to let you know how much they weren't concerned about Gerrion Conley, they traded him to the Texans the week before they played the Texans. Yeah, well, I know we're going to play you next week, but go ahead. Go on, get your little knives. Go on, get your little fruit. And take it to Houston, and we'll see you in a week. And they did. It's just how it is. But I think that slot corner position, I think Nate Hobbs is going to – he's the leader in the clubhouse for me. I mean, he's the guy that if I had to put money on it right now, who do you think is going to win that slot corner? I would say me. I would say Nate Hobbs. I know, man. I know. Nate Hobbs, I would say that he would be the guy. But, you know –
You don't have two rookies starting back there?
It could be. I mean
– Well, okay, slot, maybe not starting, but, you know.
You're on the field a lot.
Yeah.
But that's what happens if you're in training camp and you earn it. If you earn it, I don't care if you're a rookie or you're a 12-year vet. Go out there and earn it, right? That's all you got to do is earn it. That's all you ever ask. The problem is, this is when teams get into trouble, when teams give guys positions because of where they were drafted. It's like being on scholarship when you're, you know what I mean? When you're in college and you're on scholarship. Oh, well, he's a five-star, so we got to make sure he's on the field. In the NFL, you ain't a five-star recruit. You're either a first-round, second-round, third-round, fourth-round, fifth-round. It doesn't matter. Once you're on the field and you're in the clubhouse, you have an opportunity to play. You just got to go out there and earn it. And that's why I like Nate Hobbs a lot, because I feel like he's the guy who says, yeah, I was a fifth-round draft pick. That's fine. So what? Think of Max Crosby. Max Crosby was a fourth-round draft pick. He's led the Raiders in sacks the last 2 years. First 2 years in the league, led the team in sacks. He didn't care about his status.
Lead his whole draft class.
Right! That's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up. That's a great point. Leads his whole draft class. Let that sink in real quick. Actually, if I let that sink in too long, show will be over. So I better not do that. But that's going to be a good competition at that slot corner position. I'm definitely paying attention to that in a major, major way. I also want to see just how the offensive line shakes out. I want to see who holds down that right guard position. I think it's going to be Denzel Good, but it could be John Simpson, fourth-round draft pick out of Clemson. It could be. It's going to be a very good competition. Wait a minute. Are you going to give me Pitbull and you're giving me like a slow song? How are you going to give me?
This is all the Pitbull I got, man. Come on. You think I just got Pitbull laying around? I'll give you a little something, your boy. Come on, this is a good one, man. No,
it's a slow jam. Like, going into the weekend? I mean, it's not really a slow jam, but it's...
Wait till it hit.
Show's going to be over. Could have given me like motel. Grab
somebody sexy. Tell them, hey, come on. Y'all know you feeling. You like Pitbull. This ain't for me, but
it's for you. Well, we're going to wrap up the show on that note. I'm going to get you educated on some Pitbull. We'll come back next week strong. But Raider Nation, thank you so much for the feedback. We'll be back on Monday morning. Clay and Pritch, but it'll really be me and Hondo on Monday. So Monday morning, bright and early, 7 a.m. We'll be here on Raider Nation Radio. Have a great weekend. Good night.
Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation in the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT. Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.